This morning I want to share around sexual immorality. Last week we spoke on the will of God. What is the will of God? And that the Word of God encourages us to not only understand the will of God, but also to find out what pleases the Lord and live in such a way. Christianity is not primarily about what is right and wrong. Christianity is about having a relationship with God that drives me to want to find out what pleases Him and to live that to His glory. If Christianity is only about right and wrong, it becomes a religion that drives man to find what is the minimum. What are the loopholes and the gray areas? But if it is about a relationship that is driven out of love, I want to know what pleases the Lord and do that which is over and above what is right and wrong. And so we explored that last week, and if you were not here, please, it's for free on the internet. But if we read the Bible from beginning to end, we see that there are clearly things that are right and wrong also. And if you read from Genesis to Revelations, you will find not only what pleases the Lord, you will also find what displeases the Lord. And then in the middle of that, you're going to discover what angers the Lord. There are certain things that really tick God off. And so it's important for us who love God, not just to know where not to go, but to know where to go and to pursue that. But it doesn't change the reality of right and wrong and what angers the Lord in the midst of it. So we see, for instance, in the Old Testament, something happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Something happened there that really angered the Lord. And then later on we see that God's chosen people, Israel, in the desert, they did something. They did something that really angered the Lord. We read, and the anger of the Lord was against Israel. And in one day, 23,000 of God's elect people died. Because they did something that arose His anger. Now God did not change. And yes, we live in this dispensation of grace, and God has made a provision for us to be forgiven and redeemed. But it doesn't change what He likes and dislikes, and it does definitely not change what angers Him. And so we read last week in 2 Corinthians 6 from verse 17, God speaks, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, I fear, in the modern church have been watered down and what is so powerful is the motivation of perfecting holiness is because of the great love and mercy of God that we would be called children of God and He is our Father, and therefore because we have these promises, I want to do what pleases the Lord. And I don't want to do the minimum, I want to perfect holiness because I understand that is what pleases Him. And so we live a life pursuing what pleases the Lord, not out of obligation, but out of love. But this morning I want to share around sexual immorality and why it is such a big deal. Recently there has been a number of high profile Christian leaders that has been exposed to sexual immorality in their own lives. And myself have also had to deal with a pastor not so long ago in a similar context. And it's not just because of these recent revelations of church leaders, high profile leaders that have been caught out. It's also because of the world that we live in, the temptation and the reality of sexual immorality is so evident. It's also very interesting to see that the New Testament has so much to say about sexual immorality. It's interesting to note that sexual immorality has been there from the beginning right through The Old Testament, the New Testament, and in Revelations we read so vividly of sexual immorality that it's clear that it will be there to the very end. And that we as believers are constantly bombarded by the lure and the temptation of this world, particularly on the level of sexual purity. And it's very interesting to note that this is the area in which the world tries to desensitize and lure people into the most. From the beginning to the end, it is a reality that will remain. It's interesting, Paul, in all his letters, speaks about sexual immorality. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 to 8, my heading of my Bible says, a life pleasing to God in following on to last week. From verse 1, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us, you also ought to walk and to please God just as you are doing, and that you should do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgresses or wrongs his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all of these things. As you were told beforehand, and we solemnly warned you, for God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So powerfully in this portion of Scripture, again, we read about living in a way that pleases the Lord and understanding what the will of the Lord is. And last week, I left you with this question, what is the will of God? And if your heart is really for God, if you really love God, you will pursue that question yourself. But here we have a Scripture that speaks, gives us insight to what is the will of God. Our sanctification. Our becoming more and more like Christ. And then in that context, the Word of God names one sin, sexual immorality. And also that God is an avenger of those who practice it. Also that if we disregard this warning, we are not disregarding Paul or man or a pastor, we are disregarding God. It's quite a serious statement. So what is sexual immorality? If you look at the Strong's dictionary, the Greek word for sexual immorality is porneia. It means illicit sexual intercourse that includes adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, etc. Sexual immorality includes adultery, which means if you are married and you're having sex with someone that you're not married to outside of your marriage covenant, that is called adultery. Fornication is if you're not married and you're having sex with somebody. That's fornication. It's all part of sexual immorality. And Paul says those who disregard this warning does not disregard man, but disregards God. It's a quite a serious sin. Later on, Paul speaks about different kinds of sins. There are certain sins that leads to death and certain sins that does not lead to death. I believe one of those sins that are quite serious is this one. And the reason I say that is because that's what the Word of God repeats over and over from the Old to the New Testament. This is a serious sin, people. Sexual immorality. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says the following. Therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. You see, the word of God says that those who are sexually impure has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And it says, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Hebrews 13, verse 4 says, let the marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. It's quite a serious sin. So why is it a serious sin? Well, 1 Corinthians verse 6, or from chapter 6, from verse 13, says the following. It gives us insight into why this is such a serious sin. Foods are for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord and will raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the member of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he said, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one in spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have been bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. It's such a powerful insight into why this is such a serious sin. First of all, when we gave our life to God, we were redeemed, forgiven, set free from our sin and our lusts and everything that made us ashamed and guilty, and we were accepted in the beloved. We became a new creation, and we became the temple of God, where God promised, and I will live amongst them and be with them, and I will be their father, and they shall be my sons and daughters. What an amazing promise. And so God came to live within us, and we become the temple of God. Sexual immorality defiles the temple. It is a disregard, not just for the temple of God, but for the one who lives in it. It's a disregard for the one in the temple. And so I remember a number of years ago in Stellenbosch, we had a service. And while the service was going, midway through the service, two or three young men, naked as a joke, ran into the church from the back all the way to the pulpit. Naked. A disregard for God and the people of God in the midst of a service. God says that you have become my temple. I live within you. But when you commit sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, and all the other things, you are not just disregarding the temple, you are disregarding me. And therefore we understand that God says that I judge those who commit these things. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul continues. He says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized into Moses and into the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, and Paul makes a powerful statement. He likens the old covenant, the Israelites, to us who are in the new covenant. and our relationship with God. He likens their election and belonging to God to ours. He says they were all baptized like we were baptized. They all ate and were part of Christ like we are part of Christ. And he says, nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Some translation says their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we may not desire evil as they did, nor be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, lest anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you that what is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. A lot of things are said, but therefore, in the context of what the scriptures teaches us, how should we respond to the temptation and the lure of sexual immorality? It says here in verse 12, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. It is a reality. And I don't think I need to explain to you the reality and the lure and the temptation of sexual immorality in the world that we live in today. But there's two things I would like to comment on verse 12. First, from verse 11 it says, now these things happened to them as an example, but was written down for our instruction. These things happened as an example and written down for our instruction, because it's still a reality today, as it was then, and so is the consequence. And also, the fact that we live in the end of the ages. He says, we are now in the new covenant, under the dispensation of grace. But it was written down and recorded for us as an example and an instruction that we who live here do not fall in the same thing. The Word of God warns us not to commit sexual immorality, even though we were baptized and have our part in Christ, just as those, as the introduction makes the point. It says, do not think you cannot fall into God's judgment if you commit these things, just because you're God's elect, baptized, and have part of Christ. And also says, do not think it cannot happen to you either. It is a clear and present danger in the life and the world that we live in today. And so we must take heed, because it can happen to anyone. Then, verse 13, so powerfully, but despite the reality of the world and the temptation that we live in, so powerfully, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God is faithful. In the midst of the reality that we live in, he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to resist, but he will also provide a way of escape that we can overcome the temptation. This gives us great confidence that in the midst of this fallen, broken world with all his temptations, God is faithful and he protects us not to be tempted beyond what we are able. But with that also, the reality that there is no excuse for falling for the temptation. So it is a reality, but God has made provision for us through his death, his resurrection, the outpouring of his Holy Spirit, and his protection around us, that we can overcome sin. Because we are no longer slaves to sin, we've been free to sin. If we do not give in to the flesh, but to the Spirit. And we've spoke about that previously. Ephesians 5 verse 6 says the following, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And we are not the sons of disobedience. So let no one deceive us either. It was not written to unbelievers. It was written to us, believers. So how do we overcome this temptation? How do we overcome the lust and all its pleasures in this world? Well, firstly, we need to know that it is wrong. We need to know that sexual immorality is wrong. It is a sin. It is a great sin in the sight of God. That's the first thing that we need to know. To overcome the sin is not to be deceived by flattering words and philosophies and doctrines that says it is okay. It is normal. You are just human. No, it is a lie. It is a sin. It is a grave sin, and it angers the Lord. That's the first step of overcoming the sin, is to realize it is a sin and it really displeases God. And because I love God, because I accept His grace and His mercy that He has given me, and that I've been accepted and that I've been redeemed, and I'm in His house and I have an inheritance, I want to do what pleases Him. And this does not please Him. Therefore, I'm not going to go there. It's the first step. The second step is to understand that this sin starts from within, not from the outside. Sin does not start from the outside. It starts from the inside. Jesus said in Matthew 15 verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. Oh, we know Jesus' words so well in Matthew 5 verse 28, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman and lusts in her has already committed adultery in his heart. Sexual immorality does not start with the acting out of it. It starts inside when I give in to the temptation. Temptation is not a sin, people. It's when you give in to the temptation that we sin. And so sexual immorality starts with inside in my heart before I start acting it out. And God says, when it starts in your heart, it's already a sin. And some Christians have this weird idea that I can watch, what was the Greek word for sexual immorality? Porn you. I can porn you, but I will not physically sleep with a harlot. There's a line. Well, God says you've already crossed the line. Don't be fooled, people. Sin starts inside, not outside. So when you porn you are already preparing the ground for an enactment of that very sin. It is already a sin. And if you do not deal with it inside, it is going to manifest outside. In 2 Corinthians 6, we read it earlier, God speaks, He says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Do not touch what is unclean. Old covenant. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these amazing promises, let us cleanse. Who needs to do the cleansing? Let us cleanse ourselves from what? Everything. Everything that defiles the inside and the outside. Out of our love and fear of the Lord. Perfecting holiness. Not just what is right and wrong, what is permissible. How close can I get to what is unclean? No. Because I want to do what pleases you, I stay away from. The Old Testament is, don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. You know what the New Testament says? Flee from it. Don't even get close to it, man. Just get away. And so God makes it very clear for us the seriousness of sexual immorality. If you can't stop touching it, if you can't get away from it, then you are already addicted to it. People, it's time that you need to admit and get some help. If you cannot stop it, you're already addicted. Then you need help. Please, don't let this destroy you. You know, recently I had to speak to a pastor that committed sin. And of course, they repent. Like the whole profile, high profile pastors in recent media, they repent. Of course they repent. They were caught out. My question is not whether your repentance is sincere or not. That's not my greatest concern. I want to know, as a pastor, you had a sexual affair or you had an affair or whatever the sin was for months and you continued to preach. You committed adultery and you continued to preach for months. What justified that sin in your mind? Something must have justified you going there again and again and again. You know this displeases the God. You know this is not what God wants for you. But you go back there. Why? What is the thing that justifies it? What is the lie that you've believed that it is okay to continue in it? Because if you don't identify that, sir, madam, it's going to come back and kill you. It's going to come back when you fill in your tax form. It's going to come back when you need to make a decision between right and wrong. Something will justify it, and you might not act out adultery, but you will act out some other sin with the same justification. It's a dangerous thing. And yes, there's shame involved, and yes, all those things, but get over yourself. This is your life. This is not just your life. This is God who you want to please. You want to live in a way that brings glory to God. So get over yourself and get help. Come speak to us. We can help you. Whether it's deliverance, whether it's accountability, whether it's healing, whatever it might be. Live in such a way to please God. Because this displeases Him. And it's not just for gentlemen. Ladies also. So please, if you can't stop, you're already addicted. Let no one deceive you. The justification of this sin will spread in your life. The third thing that you need to do to overcome is to pray. To ask God. In our own ability, we don't have the strength. But God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. He's given us everything He needs. As a matter of fact, Paul talks about the fact that my flesh is dead and the things that I want to do, I don't do. Who will help me? And he said, but praise be to God who sent Jesus Christ. And then he says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give life to my mortal body that I can overcome sin. And so we ask God, God, I know this is not what you want. I am sorry. I know it is wrong. I'm not going to try and justify it, Lord. I want to turn away from this because I love you. And I know how much you love me. And I want to please you. I don't just want to get by with the minimum. I love you. So Lord, as I'm struggling with this thing, Lord, I pray that you will help me, that you will deliver me, that you will heal me. So powerfully, Jesus teaches us to pray. A prayer that we can pray daily. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name be glorified. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. People, temptation is a reality. Beware lest you fall. Don't think you can do this in your own strength. Therefore, Jesus teaches us to pray daily. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And it's become a reality in my own life as I see the great men of God. Not all of them. There is some of them. There are many men of God who live a pure life and a holy life. Unfortunately, when the great men of God that has such great hope, high profile, does fall, it becomes world news. And yes, but because they can fall, I realize I can fall. And so I pray more fervently, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And so it is a reality. So the fourth way, or the third way to overcome, is to ask God. It is humbling. Most of these great men of God that fell had this one thing in common. There was pride in their hearts. They became too famous, too powerful, too well known, too confident in their own abilities. And they fell. So we need humility in our prayer. The fourth way to overcome is the knowing that God is faithful, the reality. It's God that protects us. It's God that empowers us. He is faithful not to allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, beyond our ability. The way God helps us is not to take away temptation, but to not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability. And to always make a way of escape, which is God Himself. That we are able to endure it. Very powerful. Look, people, the temptation and the lure of sexual immorality has been here from the beginning and it will be here to the very end. And God empowers us through His Spirit to overcome it. He says, I will make sure that this temptation, you have the ability to endure it. So when temptation comes, endure it. Temptation is not sin. It's when you give in to it that it is sin. So God says, I will make sure that the temptation is not greater than what you can handle. I will always be there for you as a way out. But I want you to endure it and then overcome it, because that's what I called you to do. Overcome. You are an overcomer. I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Now man up and overcome this thing. And when you can, you will be free. You will realize that it is not me, but Christ in me, and that in Him I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it is a process. And one of the greatest processes is to deal with your shame and your own weakness. But get over yourself, get a grip, and overcome. Because there is where God gets glorified. He's dealt with our sin. He's dealt with our weakness. It's okay. He has dealt with that. But don't let anyone deceive you. Don't follow a doctrine that lets you believe you can be comfortable in your sin. It's a lie. It's a trap of the devil. And don't believe the devil either that you cannot overcome this. God has given you everything you need. That's the powerful thing. And God wants us to overcome. And you know what's the most powerful thing about sin and God's redemption? It's not just our forgiveness. It's the fact that God is able to take the weapon that the devil used to destroy me, to turn it around into a testimony that empowers others to destroy the works of the devil. So your shame becomes God's glory when you can share what God has done in and through your life. People, I was also trapped in sexual immorality, in watching pornography. I also watched pornography as a young man. I was also trapped in that. I also had to struggle through that. I'm not standing here saying, you know, I've never been there, you ugly people. No, I've been there too. I know what it is. But I also know how to get out of it. And once you're there, it is a powerful reality that can continue, not just in the area of sexual pureness, but in all other sin and temptation. It's the same route. The same way out is to follow God. And not just to do what is right and wrong, but to do what is pleasing to Him. And to ask Him to help us and to put our faith in Him. And then the fifth way to overcome, I've mentioned before, the band can come up, my time's up, is accountability. Bring your sin into the light. And pray for one another. Overcome together. You know, we're going to do the Conquer series again beginning next year. That is a powerful series just to help men to realize and to overcome not just the sin, but also the addiction. Because it often starts with a moral sin that leads to a physical addiction. And there's different ways in dealing it. And more ladies are growing with the same challenge. And we're going to have a Conquer series for ladies. We're going to have a Conquer series for men. We're going to do the men's Conquer series for the ladies only, so that the wives can know what their men are going through and how to help them. So when we do it, please don't hide in the darkness. The power of sin is in its secrecy. The power of sin is in its secrecy, in its shame and its guilt. But Jesus has dealt with that. So with boldness in faith in what He's done for us, we can confess our sins and be healed, as Scripture says. Confess your sins to one another and be healed. Be set free. Have a testimony and help others to do the same. And then the last point, how to overcome sexual immorality, sin, addiction, anything in your life. It's the most powerful one, and if it's the only one you remember, please remember this one. The way you overcome temptation and sin is to grow in your relationship with God. Grow in your relationship with God. Grow in your love for Him. Grow beyond the point of what is right and wrong. Grow to the point where you want to do what pleases Him. And asking Him, Lord, I know this is what You want from me. Help me. We spoke about it. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that when He hears us, we have what we ask. And if you grow to this place where God is priority in your life, where it is the most precious thing, where you love Him more than anything else, it will be far more than what is right and wrong and what is the loopholes and the gray areas. It will be, Lord, what pleases You. I want to pursue that. And in that relationship, that desire, God meets us there. God, I want to be holy for You. And God says, my son, I will help you. And He answers us and He empowers us. And that's how we overcome, making God first in our lives. So I want us just to close our eyes for a moment. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your love, the revelation of Your mercy and Your grace. This great hope that we have in our calling, our inheritance that is waiting for us, and this exceeding great power that lives in us, Your Holy Spirit, that You have given us a seal, but also to empower us to live the way You desire us to live. And God, I want to pray for all of us this morning, Lord, because we are in a world that is contaminated, and we are exposed to this lure and this temptation of sexual immorality all the time. But thank You, God, that You know and that You've given us everything we need to endure and overcome. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every person here this morning. If you are here and you are trapped in it, there's good news. You can be free. You can be free. Your freedom is already established. You just need to walk in it. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every person here, Lord, that is struggling with impure thoughts, with lusts, and even have committed sexual immorality. Lord, I thank You that Your forgiveness is final. It is complete. It is sufficient. And so is Your Spirit that lives within us. And if we humble ourselves and repent before You, You forgive us, but You also empower us to overcome. And so, Lord, I pray for those who are struggling, Father, that as they come to You this morning and they confess Your sin, that Holy Spirit, You will set them free from the lies and the power that keeps them in bondage, because it's simply a lie. And Lord, so we break the lies spoken over people, the justifications that they believe to keep them in this trap. And we break the power of sin over them that is illegal in their life. We evict the devil and his demons out of the children of God because they have no right there. They are temples of the living God. And Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will fill every crevice, every part of their heart and minds. And Lord, I pray for this hunger and thirst for more of you, that you will fill us, that you will draw us, that we will not be satisfied by things that cannot satisfy, but only by you. And so we ask these things. And if you are here this morning while all the eyes are closed and you have not yet surrendered your life to God, to be free from sin and to follow him in this great, awesome relationship that transforms you to become who God desires you to be. If you are here today and you want to surrender your life to God, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life. I want to turn away from my guilt, my shame, and my sin. And I want to walk in holiness before you with confidence that I am forgiven and I have a place in eternity with you. Is there anybody here this morning? Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? I'm going to give a moment. Is there anyone else? Maybe you have turned away from the Lord. Today God is calling you back. If that is you, just respond to him right now. Is there anyone here? Thank you for that hand. You can drop it again. Is there anyone else? Father, I want to thank you for these precious folk, Lord, that is responding to you, to surrender to you. Father, I thank you that today heaven rejoices because another sinner has repented. It is not to your shame. It is to your glory when we accept Christ's salvation. And heaven worships you for your mercy and your grace, that we can come to you as guilty and you wash us clean simply because we humble ourselves before you and we accept your love and we put our faith in your Son and everything that he has taught, and we commit ourselves to follow you as King. You embrace us as children, your own. And Lord, I pray for these two people, Lord, as they embrace you today, Father, that you will reveal more and more of yourself. Not just your great salvation and forgiveness, but the inheritance that they have in you. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that we will grow in this passion for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you just to take a moment where you are seated. Just as the Lord has been ministering to you, whatever stood out for you, just speak to the Lord. Just for a few moments. Just where you are. Just you yourself, between you and the Lord. Just respond to him.
You were the word at the beginning.
Leave this place committing ourselves to live a life that pleases the Lord, not out of obligation, but out of love for Him, out of what He has given us, and the fact that we belong to Him and we have a place with Him for eternity. Let us live different to the world in our pursuit of pleasing Him, and let us make it our aim to perfect holiness, not of religious obligation, but out of a love for Him, so that He may receive the glory for everything. In Jesus' name. May God bless you. Thank you for coming. I'm going to be here if you need some prayer. Otherwise, may God bless you. Have an awesome week. And remember, give your children some space till they're also finished. See you next week.